gosh. Okay.
I'm going to try and finish the pack if I can today. So I'll go a bit over time. You go when you need to, and I'll give you the text.
So let's not have any questions. Let's just
see what you do. Okay. Northampton Kotel, Shiron Tehillim, Chapter Yud Gimel. We're starting at Pasuk Dalet. Chapter Yud Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. And Shir given by Gershom Hepner on the 28th of September 2008, Kafches Elul Toshin Samaches. So, now David stops bemoaning his terrible situation, and instead he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for actual help. Pasuk Dalet, Habito, look at me, or look, or gaze. Aneni Hashem, answer me Hashem, Elokoi, my God, Ha'ira Enai, give light to my eyes, Penishan Hamaves, lest I sleep death, or lest I sleep the sleep of death.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rashi explains that this phrase Penishan Hamaves can actually, that we find occasions in Tanakh where death is referred to as sleep, as Shina. And he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and it's in Yirmiyah's chapter Nun Aleph Pasuk Nun Zayin, where the pasuk is referring to the downfall of Bavel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually will take it out on Bavel, and the pasuk says V'hishkariti Soreha V'chachomeha. Vishkati, I think, means I will make them drunk, or drunk, and therefore defeat them in the process. Vishkati Soreha, I'm going to make their princes drunk, the Chachameha, and their wise men, Pachoseha, are their governors, Usugoneha, and their deputies, the Gibereha, and their mighty men. The Yoshnu Shanas Olam, that's the key phrase. The Yoshnu Shanas Olam, they will sleep an eternal sleep. Blue your pizza and they will not wake up. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king, says. So the Sahara HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exacting punishment against Bavel. He'll wipe out Bavel, and destroying Bavel is referred to as eternal sleep, Shanas Olam. The Radak and the Ibn Ezra both comment on that first word, Habita. Habita, have a look, look at me. And they say that David HaMelech uses the word Habita in contrast to what he says in Pasuk Beis. When in Pasuk Beis he says, Ad ono tas tires panecha mimeni, how long will you hide your face from me? So hiding your face from me means you're not looking at me. So in contrast to that, here David says, Habita, look at me and see my situation and help me out. Now the targum on this pasuk is a key targum. I'll show you this targum. Istakel, look at me, that's translation of Habita. The Kabel Selosi, and accept my prayer, Hashem Eloki, God, my Lord. Anhir Enai, give light to my eyes. Translation of Ha'ira Enai, but he adds in one more word. Anhir Enai, but Oraisach, give light to my eyes with your Torah. In other words, this Ha'ira Enai, give light to my eyes, is not just give light to my eyes in some other meaning, it's a very specific thing. Mm-hmm. Give light to my eyes, how? Through giving me access to the Torah, or through teaching me Torah, or through keeping your Torah. Why? Dilma Echov, maybe I'll be guilty, the Edmuch, and I will sleep im Chayov Emosa, with those people who are Chayv Misa. It's an expression of I'll die an early death, I'll die. But the key bit here is Ha'ira Enai, give light to my eyes, which the Targum translates is Anhir Enai Be'oraisach, give light to my eyes, dafka through the Torah. Now, the Yalkut Miam Lilies on this pasuk explains that when Klal Yisrael are punished, and when David is punished, we recognize that there's a purpose to the punishment, and that there's a tachlis to it, and it's not just a pointless punishment, but the punishment is constructive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to give us an onesh in order to put us back on the right path and to make us better people and so on. However, there's a limit to it. And this is what David is saying, there's a limit. And he gives a moshel. I'll give the moshel first. The moshel is of a man who's a wealthy man, and he has a daughter. And the daughter is still very young, and shortly before the man departs this world, he calls up his friend and he says, do me a favor, I'm giving you my money, I want you to be the apotropos, you be the banker, the financier for my daughter, I want you to be able to finance her, eventually she's going to grow up, she's going to get married, and I want you please to look after the money, so the money should be used for her wedding and to set her up as when she wants to get married. So, and then the man, and the man, the friend agrees, and he takes over the money, and he looks after the finances of the man, and the elderly man dies, and this young girl is left in the world, and she grows up. However, as years progress, she has no parnosa. And a friend of this girl goes to the apotropos, goes to the financier, the man who's looking after the financial interests of the girl, and says, you've got to give her the money, you've got to give her some money now, because she's starving hungry, she's got no food. And he says, no, I'm under strict instructions, I can't give her any money, this money was given to me on trust to look after for her wedding. She's not getting married yet, so I'm not giving, I can't give her the money yet. Time goes on, and eventually the situation becomes desperate, and the friend of the girl comes to the apotropos and says, listen, you've got to give her the money. If you don't give her the money now, she won't survive to her wedding. She's dying of starvation. You've got to give her the money now, or she just won't even make it to her wedding day. He says, that's the moshul. We have a golus, we have punishments. The David turns around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Ha'ira inai penishana moves. If you don't help me out now, and with all the punishments, however constructive they are, I'm just not going to survive anymore. Penishana moves, I won't survive. And therefore, please help me now, give me a rescue package now, so that I can survive a little bit longer. That's the moshul given by the Yalkut Me'amoz. The Meiri points out that this phrase Penishan HaMoves is a reference to the length of the Golos. That if a person living in Golos, he can simply give up. He'll be Miyayish. He'll give up hope of having help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And being Miyayish, giving up hope of despair, is compared to death. That's it, as it says. Kememisa. So Penishan HaMoves is giving up hope, rather like the person who dies. And the Meiri points out, another thing on this phrase of Penishan HaMoves. He says, I don't want my death to be sleep. Penishan HaMoves, it's a new pshat, and he turns the pshat around. Penishan HaMoves is not in case I die, which is a moshel is given to sleep. No, it's Penishan HaMoves is, I don't want my nisa to be shino, to be sleep. What's the pshat? I want to have an active death. And he refers to Gemara right at the end of Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara says at the end of Brachos, it's on Daf Samach Daled Amud Daled, it's right at the end. You must remember this, Norman. Remember, you've rested on Brachos how many times?
Really?
Wow.
I think it's three, yeah.
Three times. Oh, yeah.
I think you did it one. I'm on to my third.
You did it with Chaim. Yeah, remember you did it with Chaim. Hence the Sefer Siste Chachomim. Not forgotten.
Not forgotten. You still use it.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I should have used it on this Gemara. I didn't use it on this Gemara. Forgive me. Okay. So the Gemara says at the end of Brachos, Tassanach Dalet, the Gemara is discussing a Pasuk, Yelchu Mechayel El Choyel. Let me get the Pasuk right. Just 1 second. The Pasuk is in, it's Tehillim chapter Pei Dalet. Hang on. Yes. It's chapter Pei Dalet, Pasuk Ches. Let me quote you the Pasuk first. Pasuk says, Yelchu Mechayel El Choyel, a reference to Tzadikim, they go from strength to strength, is a phrase you often hear in Midrasha, Yechayel El Choyel, Yeh-ra'eh El Elikim B'tzion, they should be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tzion in Yerushalayim. So what's the idea in the Pasuk, Yelchu Mechayel El Choyel, going from strength to strength? So the Gemara brings one pshat, Gemara here in Brachos Samach Daled Amud Aleph, says that it brings in the name of Rab Levi, that if someone goes, Rav Levi Bar Chia, Hayotzei Beis HaKnesset, someone who leaves shul from governing, v'nichlas to Beis HaMedrash and goes in to learn in the Beis HaMedrash, v'yotzei ratzinu len sorei zochah mekabel pnei Shechina, he will merit to receive the Shechina, she'ne'emar, yelcho mechayel el choyel ye'ra'eh el elikim b'tzion. They go from strength to strength, and the strength of the Beis HaKnesset and tefillah to the strength of the Beis HaMedrash for learning. That's one pshat. Then the Gemara brings another pshat, and this is the one we really want. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, Talmidei Chachomim ein lohem menucha. Talmidei Chachomim have no rest. Lo ba'olam hazeh ve'lo ba'olam haba. Neither in this world nor the next world. Shenemar, as it says, Yelchu, the tzadikim will go, or Talmidei Chachomim will go, mechayil, from the strength of olam hazeh, el choyil, to the strength of olam haba. Yeira'e el elikim b'tzion. What does it mean? So Rashi explains, the last Rashi in the Yeshiva, last Rashi in the Masechta, Ein lehem menucha, mi yeshiva li yeshiva. They go from yeshiva to yeshiva, from one mitzvah to another, from the tefillah in the Beis HaKnesses to the learning in the Beis HaMedrash, or min medrash le medrash, they go from one mitzvah to another. So there's no minucha, not in Olam HaZeh, not in Olam HaGa. In Olam HaVa as well, they are constantly made busy. The neshamas are made busy with constant learning.
In Olam HaBo.
So there's no minucha. Yeah. There's no minucha here, because they're busy with Torah and mitzvahs. There's no minucha there either, because they're busy being injected with Torah and being injected with the Shekhinah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a wonderful thing. It's a strange expression. There's no minucha. You think Olam HaBo is going to be minucha, you finally get a bit of peace and quiet. No, there's no peace and quiet in minucha for Talmid Chachamim, because they're constantly gaining more and more in their Torah knowledge, even in Olam HaBo. I'm constantly being given rewards by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which allows no minucha. Says the Me'iri on our pasuk, Ten Ishan HaModes, I don't want my Misa to be a Shina, to be asleep. I don't want to have minucha in after death. I want to be constantly active in death. Like this Gemara says, in minucha lo b'olam haseh v'lo l'olam haba. Yeah? So my death should not be shina, should not be a passive time of misa. My misa, time of misa should be active.
Shows the Avas Torah.
Exactly, Avas Torah.
It's going forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, forgive me if I digress for a moment. It's nice and topical. Coming up very soon, Parshas Zota Bracha, chapter Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Hay, tells of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Pasuk says there, Vayomos Shom Moshe Evet Hashem, and Moshe, the sons of God, died there, the Eretz Moav, and the land of Moav, Alpi Hashem, by the mouth of Hashem. He died through Misa, Nev, Meshiko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's as you're right. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's not with proper milk, it's with powder, and I can't.
So the pasuk here speaks about the death of Moshe. Now, the very strange thing in this pasuk is the number of words in this pasuk. Vayomas Shom Moshe Eret Hashem Be'eretz Moav Al Pi Hashem. It's got 10 words in the pasuk. Now, that is not a short pasuk. 10 words in the pasuk is not short. However, there is no esnachta in the pasuk. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we once heard in the Shul Shig in my Rabbi Donny Kaufman, he said that the if you've got a pasuk of more than 6 words, you're likely to get an esnachta in it. I think I'm not sure if it's 6 or more. Yeah, I think but 6 course, or more words. Exactly, yeah, course, which breaks the pasuk up into bite-sized portions, into manageable phrases and chunks. Yeah. The esnachta will be approximately halfway through the pasuk. Be approximately halfway through. To split the pasuk up into 2 separate phrases. Yeah. 6 words or more, you're likely to get an esnachta. Well, we've got 10 words in this pasuk, and there's no esnachta. And that's it, there's no esnachta. So I once discussed this with Rabbi Cooper. I suggested this to Rabbi Cooper, and he was very delighted with this suggestion. The pasuk speaks about Moshe's transfer from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. Yeah, by Yom HaShem Moshe, he dies. Talmid Chachamim ain lahem menucha. They have no menucha. Lo ba'olam hazeh, ve'lo ba'olam haba. Well, this pasuk speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu's olam hazeh and olam haba. It's the move from olam hazeh's death from olam hazeh to olam haba. And there's no esnachta. The word esnachta comes from the same word as menucha. There's no rest. It's a break in the pasuk. So there is no esnachta in this pasuk to show us the Talmud is a remez to the Gemara. Talmid Chachamim ain lahem menucha. There's no menucha. Not in olam hazeh, not in olam haba. Yeah, happy with that? Like that? Yeah. Nice remez, no?
Continuous.
Absolutely, continuous work.
Continuous work.
You're working here and rewarded there, but neither gives you any menucha. Neither gives you any menucha. Yeah. Good, okay. The Chiddah on this passage, you remember that the Chiddah learns that the whole chapter discusses the Nes of Purim. We did that, mention it last week. That's our chapter Yud Gimel, on Yud Gimel Adar, was when the war was. So he says the first word in this passage, Habita, has a gematria of 31. Which is the same gematria as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name Kael, Aleph Lamed. It says, and that name, Kael, is a name of Rachmanus. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanus, he's often described with the name of Hashem as Kael. So Habito is gematria 31, same gematria as Kael. So Rachmanus is Mordechai and Esther begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmanus at the time of Purim. Yeah. The Yalkut Shimoni on Penishan HaModes describes 2 forms of Misa. One form of Misa is the, as the Yachish Mani explains, Shinsa Tanisa, sleep of death, which is Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. He brings the second Shat, it's Shinsa de Malchusa, it's the sleep of Malchusa, of monarchies, kingdoms. And what does it refer to? It refers to the kingdoms of our enemies, the Jairus Crackers, the Jairus Merds, the Jairus Shlepas, Swift and Terry and Mitzvahs. So David is saying, I don't want to sleep. I don't want my Yiddishkeit to go to sleep just because of all our enemies, just because of the various exiles we tend to suffer. I shouldn't go to sleep religiously, spiritually. Good, and that's it for Prophet David. We're doing well. Prophet Gay. Doesn't it get through that fast?
So Ishra Movis, spiritual sleep.
Spiritual sleep on account of the Malchuyos, the various kingdoms, who put us into Golos, exile us, and so on. Posuke. Tanyomar Oivi Yecholtiv, lest my enemy says, I have prevailed over him. Sarai Yogilu, my enemies will rejoice, ki emot, when I slip. David is saying, I don't want my enemies to rejoice over my downfall. My enemies shouldn't feel that they've conquered me, they've vanquished me. Lest my enemy will say, oh, Yecholtiv, I've conquered him, I've defeated him. Sarai Yogilu, my enemies will rejoice, ki emot, when I slip. So the Targum on this Pasuk gives another key Targum. Dilma, in case, lest, translation of pen, Yemar Yitzravisha, my Yitzhara will say. In other words, David HaMelech is referring to his Yitzhara as Ovi. The Yitzhara is my enemy. I don't want my Yitzravisha, my Yitzhara to say, Ashlatate, I have conquered him. I've got control over him. I got my Yitzhara to feel he's got control over me. Me'ika yiraninun, my enemies will rejoice. Matul este mi'achasach, when I turn away from your path. So he's saying the Yitzhara is the enemy in this pasuk. Ovi, my enemies, my Yitzhara will be so thrilled and delighted if I ever move away from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a key piece of Targum here. That the word Oyev is not just the enemies of Klal Yisrael who are firing bullets at us and trying to stop us, trying to wipe us off the earth. No, not just that, but the Targum learns it's a reference to the Yetzara.
Why would the Yetzara necessarily be Pesimcha? This is a very interesting question, because the Yetzara is supposed to be a Malach.
Yeah,
right? He's only doing what he's commanded to do.
Correct.
And that's all he can do. So to be a bit simpler when he achieves it, I don't think that's right.
The answer has to be, I have no idea, I don't know, but I'll suggest an answer, and that is, really, as you say, the Yetzer is a Malach, he's got a job to do, his job is to give us something to fight for in life, and his job ultimately is for our own benefit, because it gives us rewards if we get the better of the Yetzer. So surely the Yetzer should be delighted, surely the Yetzer is just simply doing the job of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could well be that when we speak in these terms of the Yetzirah, it's simply a muscle for us to be able to understand, as though we've got the enemy within who will be delighted if we do our Averus. Love it. And it's just for us to appreciate, it's just for us to have an appreciation of a muscle to how the Yetzirah works.
There's a little Hasidic thought on this. That every human being has the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. Both trying to conquer the little city. The little city is the person himself. And it's the job of the Yetzer Tov to conquer the little city. Striving with him is the Yetzer Hara trying to conquer the city. There's a fight to vanquish, one to vanquish the other. It's not to kill the Yetzer Hara, but to take the Yetzer Hara and convert him to the Yetzer Tov. Yeah. So you serve Hashem with your Yetzer Hara, your animal soul, because you need your animal soul to multiply, be fruitful and multiply. Yeah. You need your lust, you need your drives. So the drive of the Yetzer Hara is to be controlled. So these two, the Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov, are striving with each other to gain control. But the ultimate is that Tov will control the Yetzer Hara, the animal soul, and serve Hashem.
Yeah. Can I add to that one tiny thing, and that is this muscle of the human being like a city who's under fire from the Yetzer Hara. That muscle comes straight, is not a Chassidish Avot. It comes straight from Shlomo HaMelech. It's actually in Kehelet. Yeah, it's in Kehelet.
The Altar Rebbe brings us in the Tanya.
If you look it up there, I wouldn't suppose if you quote the Pesukim in Kehelet. Good. Shkoyach.
It's
Yemes. Yeah, of course it is. Rav Shimshon Falhash on this Pasuk Yecholtiv, Tanyema Uvi Yecholtiv, that's my enemy says, Yecholtiv, I've conquered him, I've got the better of him. The Rav Shimshon Falhash points out an interesting language thing. The root is Yud Chof Lamed, to prevail or to conquer over someone. And he says that root is normally followed by the indirect object of lo. And he quotes lo or li or lochem, which is an indirect object with a lamed meaning two, lo. And he quotes a pasuk in Vayishlach, chapter lamed base, pasuk kafei, where Yaakov fights against the Sarah Shel Esav. He fights this, the Esav angel. And it says there, Vayar ki lo yochol lo. And he saw that he could not prevail over him. That the Malach of Esav saw that he couldn't prevail over Yaakov, and so Vayigabachas Yerecho, he touched him on the thigh, and that injured Yaakov. So, Vayar ki lo yochol lo. He saw he couldn't prevail over him. The root Yud Chof Lamed is generally followed by that word lo. Here, it's got the suffix Yechol Tiv. Now, the word Yechol Tiv is a contraction of two words, yacholti oso. Now that word oso, which here is abbreviated into just tiv at the end, or just above at the end, that the word oso is a direct object. Normally it's followed by an indirect object, but here it's followed by a direct object. I can't remember if he gives a reason. If he does give a reason why it's unusual.
So what's the direct object?
Yecholtiv. The vav at the end is short for the word oso. Yecholtiv is an abbreviation of yecholti oso. Now normally it would be yecholti lo. So it's a slight change in language. Rav Shimshon Falhash just points that out as being a slight unusual use of the word in our pasuk. Now, the Malbim, as always, the Malbim looks at words which are different but similar. And he says, look at our pasuk, we've got the word oyvi, enemy, and we've got the word sorai, which means oppressor, my oppressors. It comes to much the same thing, really. So the Malbim explains the difference between an oyev, which is an enemy, and a tsar, which is an oyev, which is an enemy, is that an oyev is someone who's an armchair enemy. He makes plans, he plots, he talks. He talks at the UN against Klal Yisrael, but he doesn't actually do anything. That's an oyev, so he's less of a threat. Whereas a tsar is someone who actually gets off his chair. He's not just an armchair enemy, he's a real battlefront enemy, and he's happy to actually attack Klal Yisrael. So he says, our pasuk says, Pen yoma oyvi yecholtiv, that we're talking, remember from last week we learned how the Malbim learns that we have two main issues going on in our chapter. We've got Shechacha, now Kodesh Baruch Hu pretends to have forgotten about a person and just leaves him to the whim of fortune and misfortune. And we've got Hester Ponim, where Kodesh Baruch Hu hides his face and that he still reacts to a person's mitzvahs and aviris, but he does so in a way that the person may not be aware. So he says, here we're talking about this pasuk here, Pen Yoma Ovi Yecholtiv, is talking about a time of Hester Ponim. Hester Ponim, where Kodesh Baruch Hu hides his face. And there, even the oyev, even the armchair enemy, who doesn't actually do anything against us, but simply speaks against us, even he comes to the conclusion, Yecholtiv, I've defeated Klal Yisrael. things are that bad. Yeah, Penyama Obi Yecholtiv, that even though he's actually doing anything against us, he only speaks out against us, but with that he feels that Yecholtiv has defeated Klal
Yisrael. It's really bad.
Yeah, the Meiri has a big chiddush on this pasuk. Pasuk Pshat is Penyama Obi Yecholtiv. David is saying, my enemy will say that he's defeated me. The enemy will say, open quotes, Yecholtiv, close quotes, I've defeated him, I've defeated David. However, the Meiri says, no, the enemy will think to himself that he's defeated HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Yecholtiv, I've defeated him with a capital H. Yeah, that's how the Meiri learns. The Beis Levi comments on this pasuk, something very simple that I kicked myself for not realizing myself, and that is that the first word in the pasuk, pen, lest, has a double usage. It refers to the first phrase, Yoma Ovi Yecholtiv, lest my enemy will think I've defeated him, and also pen, in case Tzara Yogilu Kiemot, my enemies rejoice over me when I slip. So the word pen is used both on the first half of the pasuk and also the second half of the pasuk. That's how the Beis Levi learns the pshat. Oh, yes. One small thing.
He says lest here in both
words. I think
lest mine adversary.
Oh, there you go. He's got the word lest in the English translation.
Like the Meiri says.
Yeah, like the, is that the Meiri? No, that's the Beis Levi.
Oh, Beis Levi.
Beis Levi, yes.
He's using it twice.
But I was annoyed with myself that I hadn't noticed that myself. Anyway. Yeah. Two more small things on the pasuk. One is from the Sefer on Tillim from Masad Rav Kook, where he points out again something that I should have noticed and didn't, and that is Oyev means my enemy, singular, while Tzorai means my oppressors, plural. Why the change? I don't think he gives a reason. If he does give a reason, I don't understand it. But it's interesting to note how it changes from the singular to the plural. And one last thing on this. Rabbi Yosef Yaivitz, in his Pirush on Tehillim, says that these words, Ovi and Sorai, refer to particular people. Oyevi, in the singular, my enemy, which enemy? Sha'ul. Oh. Sorai.
Sorai.
So, which word? Sorai.
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 Sorry.
Oyevi. Oyevi, yeah.
If you're referring to one person, it may be a Kaddish Baruch
Hu. I can't imagine.
As you said before.
Why? You mean because a Kaddish Baruch Hu is punishing me?
No, you said before that sometimes the enemies say, I'll actually be a Kaddish Baruch Hu himself.
Yeah, but. I'm not with you, because OUV is the one who's speaking here. Pen Yoma OUV, my enemy will say, Yecholtiv. I have conquered him. I've conquered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Meiri learns.
Oh, that's the enemy speaking.
The enemy speaking. Yeah, the word Yecholtiv. Think of the word Yecholtiv as being in direct quotes.
Right.
The enemy will say, open quote, Yecholtiv, I've defeated him. So Poshup Pshat is, it's I've defeated David. But the Meiri's Pshat is, I've defeated Hashem.
Could there be a comma after Yomar? You could say, Pen Yomar. Perhaps the enemy will say, Oyev Yecholtiv. My own enemy, I've been able to defeat.
I haven't seen that shot.
Depends on the comment.
I'm not ruling it out, but I haven't seen that shot anyway. Yeah. Divrei Nachman.
So here, my enemy is probably Saul. My enemy is again probably.
Oh, did you bring it there?
Yeah.
Ah.
And he is probably Saul.
Very good. Oh, exactly as is brought in the Yosef Yaivitz. So Yosef Yaivitz learns Ovi is my enemy Shaul.
That's right.
Singular.
So could refer then to
Baruch Hu? No, Shaul. No, I don't think so. No, it's a different shot here. If you learn that Ovi is a reference to Shaul, it's Shaul saying, Yecholtiv, it's David saying, I don't want my enemy to say, I've conquered him. I don't want Shaul to say, I've conquered David.
Matter of punctuation.
Yeah. Oh.
Conversely, the enemy, the Ace of Horror, saying, I've conquered him, the Ace of Tov.
Very nice. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. Going with what we learned earlier about. Going with that piece of Targum, yeah. Oh, you're right, yeah, of course. Yeah, exactly how the Targum learns. That's how the Targum learns with Dilma Yema Yitzavisha, my Yitzhara will say, I've defeated Yitzhatov, I've defeated Dovid. Yeah.
It's a possible show.
Yeah.
So the ticket ties up.
Yeah. Let me, Rav Yosef Yaivitz says that Oiv refers to one particular enemy, Sha'ul, while Sarai refers to two other enemies, of course it's a plural, my oppressors, plural, namely Doeg and Achisofel, who really were very much a pair in fighting David. Doeg, of course, was the one who reported the city of Nov Ir HaKohanim as having protected David. He reported them to Sha'ul, and Sha'ul went and wiped out that entire city. And Achisofel was the man, the genius, who teamed up with Avshalom in Avshalom's war against David.
Is
that Bathsheba's uncle? I think it's a great grandfather. I've got to check. He had his first child at the age of? Do you know?
15.
8. Achisofel. It's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin. It's a Tosfos at the beginning of Perek Ben Soro Mores, as I remember, in Sanhedrin. I think it's on the second Omid base of that Perek Ben Soro Mores. I learnt it with Shlomo. Yeah, Shlomo and I learnt it. Yeah. So where he sired his first child at the age of 8. And by the time he was 35, he was a great-grandfather. His great-granddaughter was none other than Bathsheba, who married David, of course, and was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech. That is, and we learned in the Medrash earlier, we learned in one of the earlier chapters, that is why Achisofel was plotting against David, because he thought he would become the Melech. He had some sort of vision that the Melucha would come to him. So he teamed up with Avshalom to fight against David with the plan of killing off David. Then he thought to himself he would then kill off Avshalom and then he would become the king. And of course, having the Melucha connected to himself was not wrong, because his great-great-grandson Shlomo was the Melech. And that's really what that vision was about. The vision was that the Melucha would come into his lineage, not him himself, but to his great-great-grandson. But anyway, he had it. By the time he died, he committed suicide at the age of 35. Yeah? By which time he was a great-grandfather. Yeah? Yeah? Even my father didn't manage that. Yeah. My father was a grandfather. I think when
a grandfather.
I think when he was 38.
Really?
Yeah, I think he was 38 when he was a grandfather. My grandma was 37. Yeah. So I think I've got that right. Are you listening, Daddy?
I can email him. I'll have his email.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan's email address.
Very good. Yeah. So yeah, that's unusual bracha. But anyway, so he Achisofel was a great grandfather at the age of 35, having sired his first child at the age of 8, which Tosfos says they could do in those days.
So he had no time there against David for then taking the Bathsheba.
I can't remember.
That was his problem.
I think he did have a time against David. I think he did. I can't remember.
That's probably what propelled him to have the ambition of becoming king. Maybe that's what
could
propelled
be.
Him.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
He thought he wasn't worthy, and he wanted the Melucha.
Yeah, he wanted the Melucha. Yeah, could be. Yeah. Yeah. Good. And that's it for Prophet Hay. Speeding through. Prophet Vav. Va'ani v'chastacha, and I, says David, v'chastacha v'tachti, I've trusted in your kindness, yogel libi b'shuasecha, my heart will rejoice at your salvation, v'ashir l'Hashem, I will sing to God, ki gomal oloi, because he has bestowed good upon me. So this is the punchline of the whole chapter. The whole chapter is a tale of woe, and now David turns the whole thing around by saying, I trust in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to rescue me, you'll give me a Yeshua, and therefore I sing praises to you. So the Metzudas David explains that what we have here are an expression of botachti, which is in the past tense, I have trusted in your kindness, whereas we also have Oshiro Lashem, I will sing to God, in the future tense. So it's with a combination of past tense and future tense. So the Metzudas David explains that David is saying, I've always trusted in you. I've trusted in you from my very earliest time. that the chastachavatachti, I've trusted in you, going back in history, I've always trusted in you, and when that's happened, I've rejoiced, yogele bibishasecha, I've rejoiced because I've trusted in you, and future, I know you're going to continue to bestow goodness upon me, and therefore, Ashira, I will sing to you in the future, for the future good you're going to give me.
Yogele bi, could that be in the present?
Well, it's a real mixture. It's a real mixture of tenses, and that's quite an issue here. Botachti is a past tense.
Yeah.
I have trusted in your kindness.
Yeah.
Yogel libi is my heart will rejoice. Future tense.
Future.
Oshira Lashem, I will sing to our God, and that's future tense. Ki gomalolo, because He has bestowed good upon me, is a past tense.
Oh.
So it's a real jumble of tenses here.
Yeah,
yeah, it's quite tricky. Yeah. Now. The Yalkut Shemoni explains that what we have here is a conversation. In this chapter, is a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David. David starts off by saying to Hashem in Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel, Ad Ono Hashem Tishkecheni Netzach, how long are you going to forget me, and how long am I going to suffer, and how long are you going to hide your face from me, and all these, how long is it all going to go on for? And that's David's question to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied to David, excuse me, David, what on earth gives you the right to challenge me in this way? Yeah? You're coming to me with such a taina, ad ono, how long is it all going to go on for? You're speaking to me in a very aggressive tone. Ad ono, these expressions, ad ono, that David used earlier, is very aggressive. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're coming to me as though I'm in the wrong. To which David replies, you know why I'm coming to you? I'm coming to you because I've always trusted in your kindness.
Mm.
I've always had that trust, and therefore I still have that trust, and that's why I'm coming to you now. So really, this pasuk is a response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to David.
Mm.
Yeah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David, how on earth can you speak to me in this manner? To which David replies, I can speak to you in this manner because in the Yalkut Shemoni, Rabbi Avohu makes a very amazing, it's such a simple remark here. Yogel libi, my heart will rejoice, bishuasecha, over your salvation. Well, if we understand it to mean the salvation that you will bestow upon me, and that's called bishuasecha, then we can understand it. But bishuasecha doesn't really mean that. It means salvation, your salvation means you're being saved. Says Rabbi Avohu, why didn't David say, saving me or saving us? So he says, you know why? Because the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael is exactly equal to the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kavayachal, it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves himself by saving us. That's how he puts it. That's how Rav Avohu says it. Yeah? It's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving himself because it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us to Klal Yisrael and saying, I need you. I need you to serve me.
For unity. We're one.
Yeah, we are one. We're on the same team. We're on the same side. Exactly.
You save us, you're saving yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Saving, that's right. Saving us. Yeshua Seinu. He says, David doesn't say Yeshua Seinu. Yogel Libi Yeshua Seinu. He says, Yogel Libi Yeshua Secha. I rejoice over your thing. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us, that in effect is saving.
Our salvation is your salvation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, just as Hashem went down to Egypt, he went down with them and he went into exile with them.
Yeah.
And he brought them up, and it's his Yeshua Secha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly, Shkaich, that's a very important point, yeah? Mm-hmm. The Golas, when we're in Golas, HaKadosh Baruch is in Golas as well.
Sure.
Yeah. So he puts himself into a bad situation to suffer along with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh.
So we say the Shekhinah's in Golas now, don't we?
Shekhinah's in Golas, yeah, that's right, yeah. Still in the Yalkut Shemoni, something which I think I mentioned that when we began the shiur. Do you remember when we spoke about the four times Ad Ono, and each one refers to a different Golos? Golos Bovo, Golos Modak, Golos Yovan, and Golos Edom. Well, our Pasuk here is defined in the Yalkut Shemoni as being the salvations from each of those four exiles. How? V'ani b'chasta chavatachti is one phrase. I've trusted in your kindness, and that's a reference to Bovel. Yogeli b'bishua secha, my heart rejoices over your salvation, is modai. Oshiro Lashem is a reference, I will sing to God is Yovan, and Kigomal Eloi, you bestowed good upon me is Edom. So again, this here we have the four exiles all referred to in this last pasuk, where everything's turned around from bad into good. Yeah. The Radak points out that what David is saying is that I'm not actually worthy of being saved. I'm not worthy of being saved, and I depend on chesed. If you save me, it's not because I've earned it, it's because you're bestowing a chesed, an unearned chesed upon me. And based on that similar idea, the Malbim says that yogel, again the Malbim explain different Hebrew terms, yogel, which of course comes from the word gila, we know it from gila, rina, disa, chedva, chasna. So gila is what kind of celebration, what kind of happiness is gila? Says the Malbim, gila is happiness where you get an unexpected surprise. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows an unexpected surprise upon you, that results in gila. So yoger libi b'shar secha is, I don't deserve it, and therefore when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does rescue me and help me out, I have the reaction of, what type of happiness do I have? I have the happiness of gila, which is the happiness of joy over an unexpected gift. Yeah?
But something for nothing.
Something for nothing, unexpectedly. Undeserved, and therefore unexpected.
Undeserved.
And if you look here, it says here in English, in my notes,
not deserving of.
Yes. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks that I am not deserving of good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks I am deserving of good, even though I don't think that. Yes. Yeah. I'll finish off. Good. We'll finish off with one interesting point. I'll ask you a shayla. The shayla was asked by Reb Chaim Brisk.
Mm-hmm.
Reb Chaim Brisk. The Chaim Brisk, and it's quoted in the Sefer. This is the Chiddushei HaGriz and the Beis Halevi Al HaTorah, and at the back of it is like a typed up section of Chiddushim, again on Tanakh and on other things as well. And there he explains, he brings the following shayla. Supposing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows good upon us, we have a duty of Hallel, we have a duty to thank him, we say Hallel over Hanukkah, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Hallel and with Shira, we have a duty to respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindnesses. Now, he says, and that's a chiyuv. You actually need to discharge that chiyuv to actually thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, supposing a Novi would come along and guarantee you with Nevuah that you will be saved from some situation, can you be yotzei your chiyuv of Hallel by thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the Yeshua takes place? That is, you've had a Nevuah, you've got a cast iron guarantee that you're going to be saved. So upon that guarantee, can you at that point turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say Hallel, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the salvation, even though it hasn't yet happened, or must you wait until it actually happens? Yeah? Strange shayla. Yeah? So Reb Chaim Brisk said, we have a proof from our pasuk. What does our pasuk say? Oshira Lashem, I will sing to God, ki gomal oloi, because he has bestowed good upon me. You mentioned, Johnny, about the tenses, right?
Yes.
So Oshira Lashem is future tense, ki gomal oloi is in the past tense.
Yes.
Says Reb Chaim Brisk, we have a proof in this pasuk that however much of a guarantee you've had, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rescue you and going to save you, you cannot be yotzei your chiyuv of thanking him until it's actually happened, until the Yeshua has actually taken place. Why? Ki gomal oloi, he has bestowed good upon me. Only once he has bestowed good, only then can you be yotzei your mitzvah of thanking him. So far so good?
Yeah.
Now, this is echoed in, I should say, this theme is expanded upon in a sefer called Emek Bracha, which is really a pilpul sefer, and it's written by a man who I know died very young, Reb Aryeh ben Reb Zeiv Pomeranchik. he lived recently. This paper is published in Toshin Lamazayan, it was 1977. He lived recently, he died extremely young. And he was apparently a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, who published another sefer on the halachas of Zeroim, of Orla and Kilayim and Meiser and so on. Apparently a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Anyway, he has a section here about saying Hallel. Shailus about saying Hallel. Shailus and Halacha about saying Hallel. And he brings this quote from Rav Chaim Brisk, who says you can only be yotze the chiyuv of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu once the nes has really taken place. And he quotes the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi is found in Avig Sochim, in Sochim, which is, I think it's Perik Yud, isn't it? Perik Avig Sochim, and it's in Halacha He there. Where he brings Machlukas between Mishnah and Beis Hillel, how much Hallel do we say on Seder night? Now, according to Beis Shammai, And I think, if I've answered this correctly, first, how much Hallel do we say before we wash for Motzi? Right? We break up Hallel, we say, Halacha, what do? We say up to the end of the Tesh Yisrael before we wash for Motzi, then we wash for Motzi, and we have our various eating mitzvahs, the matzah and the morah, and so on. And then we have the Su'uda, and then we have the Afikoman. And then, as you know, Johnny, in our place, two Afikomans, whatever it is, for
emergency Afikoman,
just before Chatzos, and then we carry on, and we sing Hallel, right? Yeah. And then we say the rest of Hallel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Oh. As you know, we sing Hallel pretty slowly at Shea Hefner.
My mother found this out too.
Yes, indeed. Baruch Hashem, we were able to have it at our Seder. Yeah, that was our Seder. Yeah, oh, right.
23 years
ago. Yeah, oh. So, now, but there's a machlokes in Meshama and Beis Hillel, how much Hallel do you say before you wash for Motzi? And I think it's before you wash for Motzi. So Meshama, I say, you just do the first paragraph. First paragraph of Hallel only, up to, say, Emabon Yismecha Halleluka. Whereas Beis Hillel say, no, you go right the way through to the end of the Tesis, so, Chalam Mishleman and Moyim. So he says, so Beis Shammai turn around to Beis Hillel and say to Beis Hillel, how can you say the Tesis Yisrael as well? After all, the first paragraph. That's it. Beis Shammai had this mikkash against Beis Hillel. How can you say B'tzeis Mitzrayim when B'nai Yisrael came out of Egypt? When we are saying Hallel on the Seder night, they haven't yet come out of Egypt. Right? They're still there. They didn't leave Egypt, if I remember correctly, until the next day. Yeah, till the next day. We didn't leave Egypt till midday. Chatzos Hayom, the next day. So how can you sing B'tzeis Tzom Mitzrayim on Seder night, which we're commemorating the night of Pesach, which is actually before the time of the actual Yitzhiyot? So you're thanking, so Beis Shammai say, you're thanking... Oh, I'm going to just go through that last section again, if you don't mind from the tape. Yeah. So Beis Shammai say to Beis Hillel, how can you say B'tzeis Tzom Mitzrayim on Seder night? Seder night is before the time when they actually left. They didn't leave till Chatzos Yom on the following day. So how can you say B'tzeis Tzom Mitzrayim? As you say, you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the Nes actually happened. Yeah. Well, it's not really true because it happened 3,300 and something years ago. Yeah, but you're commemorating it at a time before the actual Yitzhiyah. This is how Beis Shammai.
We're going out.
That's right. Yeah, I'll quote you the Loshon of Beis Shammai. V'chiyotzu Yisrael miMitzrayim, shehu mazki Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. Have the Nes actually gone out of Egypt that you're commemorating by singing B'tzeis Yisrael miMitzrayim? Amalei Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel reply. What kind of question is that? Say Beis Hillel. Ilu mamtin ad karos hagever. What are you going to do? You're going to wait until dawn? Karos hagever is dawn, which because all the mitzvahs of Seder night need to be performed during that night. You're going to wait until dawn. Adayin lo higia lachatzi gula. You still haven't reached the time because they didn't leave until the chatzos hayom the following day. So you may as well do it now because you've got to do it sometime tonight, because even by dawn they wouldn't have left. They didn't leave to Chatzos Yom the next day. So the Imek Bracha relates this machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel to this shaila. Can you give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the Nes has actually happened? You've had a guarantee that it's going to happen. Can you do it or not? So
one is active, one is passive. It's in the past, it happened, and we are celebrating now as if we're living at the time. but it is in memory of something which we know happened.
Yeah.
If you have a nevuah and somebody says it's going to happen and he's a prophet, that's for sure he might be a false prophet.
No, we're talking about where you know for sure. Where, if you know for sure that it's going to happen. Okay, yeah.
Even so, it's something that's about to happen and you're living it.
Yeah, you're experiencing it right now. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've got free choice. You might do something which you don't deserve.
And the whole thing gets called off.
Absolutely.
You're right, but the whole shaila is really only if you know for sure. There's lots of mea achuz, if you're 100% sure that it's going to happen, and you've been told by a reliable novi that it's going to happen.
The person has a muzzle. And you can change your muzzle by your reactions. So if your muzzle can change, certainly with the nevuah.
I can't answer that. I don't know the answer to that. But anyway, Reb Chaim Brisk learns it from this pasuk that you cannot give, you can't be yotzi your mitzvah halel or hodot or thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu until after the event, and the Emek Bracha relates it to this machlokes which Shammai Tzela. Just a quick note.
So how can we sing halel on the Seder night if we haven't yet gone out?
Well, this is how Beis Shammai put it to Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel say, what are you going to do? Wait till dawn? It'll be too late by dawn, and the whole Yetziah didn't happen until after dawn anyway.
We have to do it now.
That's how Beis Hillel learned. Just by the way, according to Beis Shammai, what about the first paragraph? Beis Shammai say you do say the first paragraph of Hallel on Seder night. Mm-hmm. Why is that? And the answer is very simple. Because in that first paragraph it says, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, servants of God. Mm-hmm. So the pshat is that Beis Shammai say we are perfectly entitled to say the first paragraph even before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because the plagues, once the plagues started, we stopped being Avdei Paro. The whole Shibud came to an end when the plagues began, which is month to month, about a year before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we are entitled, say Beis Shammai, to say the first paragraph of Hallel, because there we say we are described as Hallelu Avdei Hashem, we are servants of Hashem. Indeed, by the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were Avdei Hashem because we were no longer Avdei Paro, because the slavery had come to an end. However, there's a kasha on this.
You can be both.
Yeah, you can be both. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The plagues took a year.
The plagues took approximately a year. Start to finish a year. It's a machlokes exactly how they were timed. Whether it was 3 weeks of a plague followed by 1 week of... I can't remember.
Time levels for each plague.
I can't remember exactly how it worked. Yeah. But the plagues did indeed go on for about a year. Yeah, and the shibud came to an end. The slavery stopped at that stage. Now, here's a kasha. Well, we'll close the shir on a kasha which I won't answer. And the kasha is brought in the Sefer Nefesh Shimshon, based on this, and that's written by Rav Shimshon Pinkus, who I think he lived in America, and apparently very recently, and he died very young. He was killed in a car crash. I believe he was a young man. At any rate, so he brings a pasuk. He asks a kasha, and the kasha is from Divrei Hayomim based chapter kaf. And it's a pasuk Yudalit. Let me quickly see this. There was a war that Yehoshaphat, one of the kings, fought against Moab and I think Ammon as well. I think it was fighting Ammon and Moab. Yes, Ammon and Moab. And he davened for success in the war. However, watch this. Divrei Hayomim base, chapter kaf, pasuk Yudalit. V'yachziel ben Zechariyahu ben Benoyah ben Ye'iel ben Matanya Halevi min b'nei Osof hoisa olav ruach Hashem b'soch hakohol. He had the spirit of God. A man was given a nevuah. V'yomer, and he said, Hakshivu chol Yehuda v'yeshle Yerushalayim, everybody in Yehuda and Yerushalayim, listen, v'hamelech Yehoshaphat, and listen to me, King Yehoshaphat. Ko amah Hashem, and this nevuah is not a false prophet, he's the real thing. Yeah, and he says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lochem to you, Aten, you, Al Tiru, don't be scared, Va'al Techatu, and don't tremble, Mipnei Hehomon Horov Hazem, because of this massive army against you. Ki Lo Lochem Hamulchama, the war is not for you to fight. ki lelekim is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here is the guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rescue you in war. And he continues in Pasuk 17, Lo lochem lelochem basis, it's not for you to fight, you won't need to fight, you won't need to lift a finger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save you. And that is indeed exactly what happened. Now, Pasuk 18, Vayikud Yehoshaphat Apayim Oritza, and Yehoshaphat bowed down with his face down to the ground to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the war. V'chol Yehuda v'yesh v'Yishalayim noflu lifnei Hashem, and all the residents of Yishalayim, they bowed down, they fell down before Hashem, v'shtachves Hashem, to prostrate themselves before Hashem. Pasuk 19, V'yokumu ha-levim, the levim got up min b'nei ha-kahosim, min b'nei ha-korchim, these families, the levim stood up, La Hallel La Hashem Elokei Yisrael, to give praise to Hashem, the God of Israel, B'kol Godol L'mola, with a great sound above. There you go. And then the war happened the next day, and
before
they won the war.
Salvation.
And they thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They prostrated themselves. La Hallel, they praised. They haven't done anything yet. Yeah? They are thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the war takes place. So, Reb Shimshon Pinkus.
She's clever, because it's like saying, Hashem, now you must save us.
Ooh, well,
they've given you all this gratitude.
They have no doubt. They have no doubt.
That's what I'm saying. But,
no, they have no doubt. No, no, they're not saying that, Hashem. They're not saying you must save us.
No.
They're saying
thank you
for saving us.
In anticipation,
but it hasn't yet happened. Thank you, Hashem, for saving us. There you go. That's a kasha that Shimshon Pinkus brings. And he does give an answer, and I have learnt through the answer, and I don't really understand it. So that's a bit of a sad way to finish the chapter. Alright, there you go. Alright. Shkech.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Where did you live, Rosh Shimshon Pinkus?
I think in America. Yeah.
In the other store, in Bonsai.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chapter 14.